So we said yesterday, Yichot Pesach, that it's a to talk between making the bracha and starting the checking. But after you start checking, you let him talk with things that have to do with the checking. And you said also that you could, if you're sending people out to check other places of yours, so they have to be with you with the bracha, and then they go and they check, and also they have to be makpid, they can't talk the whole way until they get to the place, and then when they start checking, because if you talk, you have to make a bracha again. You talk between making the bracha and starting the checking, you have to make a bracha again. Like any other mitzvah, you talk before you eat crackers, you make the bracha, and you don't eat the cracker, you start talking, you have to make a bracha again. Now, if one, he in the middle of the checking, he has to use the bathroom, so he makes the shayatzah. But everything is, of course, after he began the checking. Then he could do everything else. Okay, Mod. That's what he spoke yesterday. He spoke also, other things. It says here, Tafam Gimel Abdika, Tzarir Shetiye, Leor Aner, Velo Leor Alevana. The checking has to be to the light of the candle, not to the light of the moon. Okay? And of course, not to the light of the sun. It's to be the light of the candle when there's a moon out. Okay? And the moon is out. It's the 14th. The moon is bright and big. And if he didn't check on the 14th at night, he wasn't home, no one was home, whatever, something, situation. Okay? So even if he has to check, he still has to check it on the 14th in the day, in Erev Pesach. Also then, you should use a candle, not just use the lights. Use a candle, because there you can see, like we said, you can see better in the corners. Okay. Now, if you have a very bright light, okay, a projector, so don't have to have a candle, it's good enough. So that shines every corner of the room. The hallway is shining, the sun is bright through the hallway. Sadly, you don't have to have a candle over there. Point is, in other places. Okay. Tov, sadam. We said, also, it says in the here, Shulchan Aruch, Em, Bodkim, Lor Avukah, Lor Aner. You don't check the light of a torch. Torch, I'm talking in English. In America, torch. In a, not a flashlight.
Like a bell candle.
Right. But in England, they say something else. For some,
like, a torch is a flashlight.
Flashlight, that's what I'm saying. American torch. Okay? So, you have to adapt a candle, a single candle. Look, it shines better, the light. You can see better. You're allowed to use a flashlight, like we said yesterday. You're allowed to do a flashlight also, even a chatchila, everything. But we said that the minhag is to begin, at least to begin, with a candle, and then you go on to the flashlight. You should have to use, in the olden days, even 100 years ago, they used candles made out of fat. And sometimes it was not kosher fat. So you know how to check with those candles. Why? Because they might drip on your kalim and you make them trip. It's fat of a pig or a horse, I don't know what.
It's hot.
Yeah. It's a baya. That's why he says here to use wax. Anyways, today we use wax. Now, if there's chametz, you know there's chametz behind the closet. And the closet is huge. You're not moving it. To move it, you have to take everything out, move the whole thing, or destroy the, take apart the thing. Or the sofa. You know that there's chametz in the insides of the sofa, and there's no way to get into it unless you break open the sofa, tear it open. There's a little hole there, and the kid shoves a piece of challah in there and chops. You don't have to take care. You don't have to take apart the closet. You don't have to break the wall or open the pipes and check. Maybe someone put something there. You don't have to. You look wherever you can till where you can reach with your hand, as though, and then you nullify everything else which is not. You're not able to reach. Even if you know there's chametz in there, you don't have to take apart the sofa. Okay? Don't be shrum. Shrum is crumb.
So we don't have to like take out all our furniture from the house.
What do you mean?
You know, take out the tables, the chairs, the fridge, like everything, and have just a bare floor and clean it.
No, exactly. You don't have to. What, you took everything out?
Yeah.
Why?
A couple years. To clean for baseline. I took every single thing. I took out all the bedrooms out. I took everything, all the furniture completely out of the apartment. Cleaned everything, painted the walls.
If you're painting, it's good anyways to take things out.
No, I was like scrubbing down the walls too.
That's what's to be so much, man.
But they scrub down the walls anyway to get the loose stuff out. The loose paint chips.
You moving before Pesach or after Pesach?
I'm moving after Pesach.
Tough luck.
June or July.
Yeah. You have a yard, you have a mepesta, you have a yard, you have to check there too. Okay. Or you have a... Also, let's see, you have a mepesta with a roof, a little roof, is it? A sunroof, whatever, you have to see that there's nothing there. If food could be there, because the birds, you know, my window sills. Every year I found chametz on the tracks. Not for the kids. And the birds. Yeah, if there's crumbs on the floor, they come in through the window. They eat. They take it and drop it a lot of times on the window. On the tracks, you have to clean the tracks.
Well, that's the advantage of having four cats.
Where they, what, oh, they don't come in?
Right.
If they come in, they might be there. Okay, in shuls, okay, the person is asking that it's better not to make a bracha when you check in a shul. It's not your house. You don't make a bracha. The government checks. Okay? According to Sfadim, you don't even check in shuls. Just leave it like that. I mean, if you have a kitchen and stuff, which for sure there's chametz, of course you have to get rid of it. Yeah. Now, if it's a shul that a private person owns, like a rebbe or someone owns it, you know, and doesn't belong to a community, of course he has to check everything, even with a bruch. Places where you check before Pesach, when you close them, clothes sealed for Pesach, and you don't have to check in the Dikas Chametz. Your wife tells you that's clean, you have to check there. Unless you worry, maybe the kids put it away. If you closed it and there's no way that people brought in Chametz into there, so you don't have to check. But like the rooms, I could say I cleaned for Pesach, but of course I have to check them again at the night of the Dikas Chametz. All the closets where the kids don't really get and stuff, you don't have to check there. If now you did Dikas Chametz, you're leaving the house after Dikas Chametz. You did Dikas Chametz at night, now you're leaving the house. You're leaving. So you won't be in the house for Sleifas Chametz, for burning the Chametz. So the halacha says, if you could organize it, someone will take the Chametz, take it and burn it. Well, it's good also. Also, you could take it with you and burn it wherever you were, you will be. And to take it with you the chametz, or someone else will burn it for you. And there's the Indian dafkah to burn the chametz. Okay, and you also, if you want, you're allowed to burn the chametz at night. And if you finish, you take it outside, you burn it, gamal. If you know you're going to leave, you're not going to be around the next day, so yeah, so you're allowed to do that. You're flying now. You're going to Oman. Okay? And I have to say, not so far, huh? 3 hours, chick chat. I'll be there soon. So then you should definitely burn before. Immediately after you checked, you have to be very careful with the chametz which is left. Not to just leave it like that. A mouse could come and spread around the house. Birds could come in, kule, cats. Okay, you have to keep to put it away. Okay, store it until the next day. Now, if someone did not check on the 14th. At night, you can check on the 14th of the day, whenever he remembers this. A minute before Shkia, good. If he didn't check the whole 14th, he has to check during Pesach. If he didn't check during Pesach, the whole Pesach, you have to check also after Pesach. Why? So if there is chametz, you might come to eat it. Chazal made a gzera, you can't eat chametz that a Jew owned during Pesach. The famous story with Rabbi Levi Yitzchak in Bardichel, over 200 years ago, that he was there at Pesach, he was going to go to shul, and he asked his shamish, "Go bring me a loaf of bread." A loaf of bread? Yeah, from a Jew. I need a loaf of bread from a Jew. What? No one has loaf of bread now. Everyone burnt their chametz. There's no chametz. It's Erev Pesach. Go look. I want to see. I need the... No, don't ask questions. I need it. Goes, every Jew in the town is looking, searching. We don't have. Sorry, I don't know. The rabbi wants it. We don't have. It's a soul. So he comes back after a long time and he says, there's no chametz in town. I don't know. I can't get your bread. He said, "Ah, Hashem, you see? All the Jews here are so good. They're so special. They make sure not to have any chametz in their house." Before 30 days, again, if someone's leaving his house before 30 days before Pesach, meaning he's leaving before Purim, so of course he doesn't have to check. But if he's leaving now for 30 days, he's leaving for a long time, but he's coming back to his house before Pesach, and he's leaving now for a few weeks, the chutzlah, he's coming back before Pesach, and the house will be empty, no one's there, he should check before he leaves even. Why? Just in case, he might get stuck on the way, he might come late, he might come right before Pesach, he won't have enough time to check the house. Therefore, he has to check before he comes back, before he leaves even. Okay? Now, if someone now someone's going to be in a hotel the 14th at night, he's going to be in a hotel, okay? Or Chas Shalom, someone has to be in the hospital for some reason, so yeah, if he receives the key and it's right, it's the 14th at night, he has to do Bdikas Chametz in the hotel. So the hospital, he has to check the what he is responsible for. Usually they have a little cabinet next to the bed. So that's what he's responsible to check, the bed, and the cabinets.
Can they have an agent do that for him? Like,
of course. Of course, there's sometimes a person sick. You don't do it with a bracha in the hospital. If you're in a private hospital, which you get your own room and everything, so it's like, basically you're renting. So you have to, with a bracha and everything. Some people are like in homes, right? They have private rooms. It's theirs. They're in a home. You know, they can't live alone and by themselves. They're in a home, because you used to deal with all these. So they have to do Bdikas Chametz in their room with a bracha, of course.
But if you're a Jew in a
non-religious environment, yeah,
it's much more difficult. So what, you just do something symbolic.
No, but you usually have your own room, no?
Yeah, I mean,
so you have to do Bdikas Chametz. You have to do Bdikas Chametz. You're not responsible for the dining room. You're responsible for your bedroom. So to yeshiva bachurim. Yeshiva bachurim, which they dorm and they pay tuition to the yeshiva. It's like they're renting and they have to do Bdikas Chametz before they leave. But they're not responsible in their dining room, and they're not responsible in the shul and the bismedrash. Yeah, they're responsible for their own room. Or in their room, they're responsible for their own place, under their bed, under their kids. So each one is responsible for his own place.
And people that have Alzheimer's disease, they're not responsible.
For anything? They're responsible at all?
Are they?
They're not responsible, period.
Yeah, right.
Okay, you do. Or whatever it's called,
dementia.
So if you're dorming, and you're spending Pesach at your family,
Before you leave.
Yeah, check both places.
Yeah, before you leave, you have to check there. Check that there's no chametz there. It's very simple.
So I have to call my daughter.
Yeah, the day before she leaves, you have to make sure there's no chametz left there that she owns.
So she should use a candle and burn the mattress?
She could burn the whole building down if she wants.
So my son also, he's on like a kibbutz Ofan program. So he and his roommates were responsible
for their
just
room.
For their room.
100%. You call them and say, they're going to be there on the 14th?
I don't know what they're doing for Pesach.
If they're there on the 14th, they have to do it at 14th at night. And if not, so that before they leave. They could also decide that some of them are leaving early, so they make one of them responsible. You're going to do it for us. And he does it. Now, if I rent an apartment, but I'm not yet living there. I rented it from the beginning of the month. But I'm not yet, I'm getting married only after Pesach, so the apartment's going to be empty. Again, or whatever, something like that. Or I'm moving in only after Pesach, in the meantime I'm somewhere else. So do I have to check it? If a person got married before Pesach, he's going to a hotel for Pesach. And he rented already an apartment, it's ready for him to move in. Does he have to check or not have to check? Even though he's still in he's not in that apartment, still he has to check that apartment that he doesn't live in. If it's empty, no one lives there, and he owns it, or it's under his responsibility, he rented it, he has to check there. And if it's very difficult, it's a different country, a different city, and it's impossible, and there's no one to do it, he could sell the house to a goy. Like we do in Mechil Summits, he just adds that to the list. So,
can landlord check?
Only as a shaliach of the person who's renting. The landlord just owns the property, but it's not his. It's not his responsibility.
No, what I'm saying is, like, my son rents out his place when he's staying with us for Hagim, and so he's already he will check.
When will he check?
Probably a week.
No, so if the people come in and they're there by the 14th at night, mm-hmm. they have to check.
Okay.
It doesn't help that he checked. It's their place. They have to check their place. He checked his place, now they check their place.
Okay.
If they're there the 14th, they have to check it. Who has the key on the 14th at night? That's the question. The landlord or the person they're renting? If the person renting has it, he's responsible. If the person the landlord has the key, he's responsible. That's halacha.
Whoever has the key.
Yeah. Whoever has the key, meaning the rights to use the place. I mean, once he rented it out, he can't use it anymore. This is Mamash Lamaisa. I have an apartment also. If it's exactly between tenants, let's say, doing Pesach. It's my responsibility to check it. Or I sell it. So my apartment is not even in Yerushalayim. I'm going to drive all the way to Tzfat the 14th at night. Yeah, that's what I have to do on Erev Pesach. Mm-hmm. Nothing else to do? Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to do that. But Baruch Hashem, there's tenants, they live there. Yeah, they have to do it. Yeah. If you have more than a kazayis of chametz, kazayis and more chametz, in a high place, which you might fall down, you have to go up there and take it, get rid of it. Why? Because it might fall. If you have a kazai chametz that fell into a pit, it's not climbing out. You don't have to bother to go in there. You could now fire it as though. Again, it's a su. If you're eating, you can taf mem. If you're eating a meal on Pesach, matzah. Let's say you're going on a picnic. Sip it down a tablecloth, of course. And you're sitting there, and you're eating your matzah, your food. A guy comes, he sits next to you on the same table, on his own placemat, on the same table, and he's eating his chametz, now his sandwich. Okay? It's asur.
Asur
for the Jew to stay there, to get up and leave.
You have to get up and go.
Doesn't have to go anywhere, you just have to fold his food and put it back in the bag.
He doesn't have to leave. He can sit there and just not eat with it.
Yeah.
Could he ask the goy to go somewhere else?
He could. If he feels like it's polite and it won't be Chir Hashem, yeah? This is, if it's one table, asu b'chlal, even if it's a very long table. From one end of the room to the other, asu. So what about you're flying now to Chutz La'aretz? You're in the airplane. You have your own, each one has his own little table. But it's very, very close. Right? Also then you should be machmir not to eat with, when the guy is eating. Because very easily stuff could go switch around.
Especially with turbulence.
With the turbulence?
You know, the plane goes up and down.
Ah, okay.
But the same rule is not hold if it's not based on.
No, why not? No, why not?
No.
Because not kosher, if you eat less than the kazayis and not kosher, it's not an avela. If you eat even a crumb of chametz, it's a kavis. That's why Pesach is more strict. That's why we're very strict on Pesach and all kinds of things that were never strict during the year. Yeah, and we're a lot more strict on Pesach cleaning. Because even a little crumb is us. So now, are you allowed to use all kinds of drops, all kinds of face, hand cream, face cream on Pesach, which contains chametz? Shampoo.
Well, if a dog can eat it, then no.
Okay. The Maisa, right.
But they have lists, don't they?
The Maisa, you're allowed to use all these things, even if they have mamash chametz in them. Because a dog can't eat it, it's mutar. You should try to make sure that it was made before Pesach. So if you buy it before Pesach, it was made before Pesach. Okay, and everything which you have in the house before Pesach. In the other side, they're very everyone machpid to buy only kosher Pesach shampoo and kosher Pesach this, kosher Pesach that, kosher. Even toothpaste, you don't have to have kosher Pesach. If you want, it's a good thing to do. Why not? It's not anything here. That's the minhag here in outside the Haredi. That's what they do. My father told me when he was in America as a kid, there was no such thing as kosher Pesach toothpaste, kosher Pesach soap, kosher Pesach this, kosher. So, I personally do two things which in that place where I do kosher Pesach. I use kosher Pesach toothpaste and kosher Pesach soap for the dishes. And it's also only a chumra, you don't have to. Everything is okay. Even if you don't use it, it's still kosher. It's still. When I was in South America, everything I bought was not nothing had a hechsher for Pesach. I bought fruits and vegetables. Don't need a hechsher. They told us we could buy salt and sugar. Tell us we could buy olive oil. Baby. How was the situation? What can we do?
Well, here the stores are already switching over to their Pesach. It's right before Purim.
The stores are already changing. It's starting that. But don't forget, people forget, it's only 1 week. It's only 1 week.
I know, but people go crazy.
People buy, remember the snowstorm that didn't come? People bought out stores for 2 days. People are crazy.
Well, don't worry, our cats are already preparing for Pesach. They're throwing away all the glass dishes on the ground. Nothing like waking up from dead sleep with the sound of broken glass.
Medicine, which is medicine, only medicine. It's medicine that's made in the medicine factory. Even if it contains chametz, you're allowed to take it on Pesach. If you could get it the same thing, kosher Pesach, obviously try to do that. But if you can't, you're allowed to eat it on Pesach. Okay, now if you have a medicine in capsules, I know the capsule is made out of stuff which we have contained chametz. So you're allowed to hold it in the house. It's not real chametz, but you should, before you take it, you should open up the capsule. Put the powder, the medicine in a cup, and have it like that. And not to swallow it with the chametz. If someone is mamash dangerously ill, of course, he's allowed to have everything. Now we know, chametz v'she shaot u'lemala b'yom yudaled asur b'ana'a. Chametz, from 6 hours and on, it's not talking about regular hours. 6 hours and on after the beginning of the day of the 14th of Nisan is asur to have any benefit from it. Ve'asru chachamim shtei shot kodem anum tkiat shah chamishit. And Chazal asked it even to use it even 2 hours before. Midoraisa is 6 hours after the beginning of the day. Midorabanan is 4 hours after the beginning of the day. It's not talking about hours that we go by 60 minute hours. It goes by Shah's money. So around Pesach time is probably a little bit longer than 60 minutes each hour. So let's say, and it goes from the Nates. So let's say the Nates in a month, they're changing the clock. So it's hard to figure that out. 1 second. In a month it will be around 6:20. Okay? The Nates. Okay? So 6:20, 7:20, 8:20, 9:20, 10:20. Maybe by 20 to 11, quarter to 11, like that. Maybe a little bit earlier. It's the time that you can't have any chametz anymore. It's the time for burning, the time for not having anymore.
So you also need to verbally know it too.
Hmm?
You need to know it.
Yeah. The key to
Baltimore, you always knew exactly what the time was. So a kosher non-condonance. So the yeshiva boys would line up early in the morning, early in the morning, and at the exact time they'd stop with the donuts. And the guys were not Jewish, they ran the kosher donut shop, you know. All they knew is that was their best day, that and the day after Pesach. Pesach ended, they were ready. I remember the first year people tried to tell them what was going to happen, they didn't pay attention. But after the first year,
so it's a non-Jewish store, which
was non-Jewish store,
which is kosher.
Totally
kosher. There's a mashgiach and everything. Yeah. It's their business. Yeah. That's why they do everything kosher.
Right.
I mean, you trust it because the mashgiach is there.
The mashgiach was a community rabbi that everybody trusted. He gave certification to a few places. And Dunkin' Donuts was one of them.
And he would sharply check once a week?
Yeah, he would come in unannounced once a week. So the other Dunkin' Donuts were selling, you know, nacho shabbats with cheese sandwiches. And
well, here was all milkshake and
everything was part.
Fire?
Yeah, even like. Yeah, milk.
So they had toppings and coffee and
right.
This and that.
And everything was like soybeans. So.
And everything was OU. Chalav Yisrael.
For the donuts, even for non kosher, it was part.
It's a big thing.
Because I used
Dunkin' Donuts, kosher Dunkin' Donuts.
I know, I saw it in Calgary.
I worked in. Donuts and things. Changed over to rolling donuts.
Kosher or not kosher?
All the ingredients were kosher under Pillsbury, like OU Pillsbury, you know, all the national brands. But there was no hatch around. We did have a reform rabbi come in, if you could call her a reform rabbi. Like of all. I could tell you stories you wouldn't believe.
My nephew taught several stores in New Haven, Connecticut, where Yale was. He was on the faculty there, and he was also the Hillel rabbi and the rabbi of the local shul. And he went and checked menus, and he found out that some of the stores were almost totally kosher, but they didn't know it. They didn't know what kosher was. So he would sit with the owners and the cooks, and he was a cook himself. He loved cooking. So he explained to them how to become kosher. And he made a lot of his stores.
And then the rabbi came in and gave them a certificate? Or
yeah.
No,
he just, you know, he put up a certificate saying that he was the mashgiach for the stores. And he would come by and announce and shop. And it's very nice. I mean, he took a lot of really nice places that became totally kosher just by dropping a few items. And he showed them what the substitutions were for items. So they had no idea that these are not Jews.
And then they had more business also. What do they care?
Absolutely. You see, we'd like go to Hillel and say, go to this store and that store, it's still in kosher. Jewish students would come.
And
the community would come. Because the community would stay away from almost every place in this.
Right.
So, you know, it was nice to have somebody like that. That's why I think it's really nice. When you're telling up in Yeshiva, like Baltimore, like New Israel, and they, the boys want places to go. So the Yeshiva goes out of its way, you know, if there's a place that's close, they go out of the way to work with them.
There we go.
Because they have 1,000 boys in that town.
Right, it's worth it also for the, all the businesses are worth it. It's a good business. So, vital. Oh, it's an interesting case. Now, what happens? We said that at a certain hour you can't have any chametz, own any chametz, right? What happens if you're in a different country? And the time in the country where you're at, you're still allowed to have chametz. But in the time where the chametz is, it's already Pesach. Or the opposite.
What we do is, if you go to Chabad.org, and they have a form, and in, on the form they put down your address, and what time zone you're in. And if you're traveling, what time zone you'll be in.
So it doesn't, but the Maisa, you should tell it before any time. Before both times. Before the time that you that is there and before the time that you're in.
And so they tell you what time you can have helmets up to, and it's already sold, and you know, you give a nice donation. Chabad.org.
Very good. It's a good business.
It takes finance to fill out the form with a credit card. Very easy, very simple. Don't have to worry about anything.
That's how you sell your chametz?
Yep.
Every year?
Every year.
And here, your chametz here, you don't have any chametz there, chametz over
no.
there?
No. It's just easier.
You have to write down where you have the chametz?
Just your address. Unless, you know, like you have multiple locations, like New York, San Francisco. A lot of people that I know have multiple homes.
Yeah, people own their own places like for the summer and this and that.
Like Australia and here.
It's a different time zone.
Yeah.
12-hour different time zone, not 10 hours.
Yeah, the problem is Australia is a lot earlier than Israel.
We were burning the chametz yesterday for this.
They're late?
They're later than
that.
They have a lot of community burning places for chametz.
Yeah.
We have a lot of chametz. The Akiva does.
Yeah, right. Which one? The one on top?
No, on the front.
Yeah, which one? The one on top of the... and the Zayit on top?
No, I'm saying on every street corner there. All throughout the front.
The Iriyap, the Moatzaputs?
Yes, we still have them.
Throughout the whole main street over there.
Yeah, they're all in the intersections.
No, we have the major...
And they're little fireballs.
We have a major problem with that, so they sort of like, they fall away.
Who took them away?
We're between two Arab villages, and so we really can't burn anything.
Why?
Last, was it a year or two ago, they burned a hillside down.
Who burned?
The Arabs.
What are they going to do with you burning the hummus?
They just simply help us.
I said that you still have to burn the hummus.
Yeah, so baby. What I had to do is I put a little pan outside with a little...
Why the area to put some boxes?
What?
The area
puts
boxes.
Yeah, the area puts boxes.
Not around our area.
In some places they put us, not in my area also, they don't do. We have a lot downstairs, and all the neighbors come here, and we put those together. You know that it benefits you even from smell of chametz on Pesach. So if you have a bakery in your house, so you let her go by there, yeah? But try not to enjoy this smell. It smells good sometimes. How do you burn the chametz? You burn it. Very simple. And if you can't burn it, okay, you could make it into small pieces, less than a kazayit, and just throw it on the field. Like that. And Erev Shabbos, let's say Shabbos is Erev Pesach. Pesach is Motzai Shabbos, not like this year. This year, Pesach is on Shabbos itself. But let's say Pesach is a Motzai Shabbos. When do you burn the chametz? Hopefully, let's say you still have chametz there. Anything else? The toilet, yeah. So you put it on the toilet.
Yeah, because you have a problem, because you need Kiddush rolls for Shabbos.
Okay.
After Shabbat, start.
That's what I said. I was in Chile one year and it was like that. And I had challahs left. I just gave them to the guy. We're so happy.
No. Jewish challahs. How do you handle Shalosh Shabbos?
You don't. You do on fruit.
No.
Huh? I give the guy.
Now maybe you make a deal after
Chalas. He has my Chalas.
Yeah,
in the light, the light. I don't know. No. He was in a town. We lived in a town where you probably heard of it now. It's called Pucón in Chile. You heard of it? The volcano erupted over there all the week. You heard of it? You didn't hear in Chile the volcano erupted?
Yeah.
I lived in that town. They evacuated everyone. It's good it didn't evacuate when I was there.
You mean Jewish people?
No Jewish people. Only Jewish, what's it called? Jewish,
Israeli
backpackers.
So why are you here?
For them. You get them close.
No.
We're working with